The following program is brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Harrisburg and the Catholic Communication Campaign. Visit us on the web at hbgdiocese.org.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Catholic Perspectives. To start our show, we have a special message from Bishop Ronald Gaynor.
My dear brothers and sisters, during the past 16 months, we have all been faced with many challenges as we adjusted to life during the COVID-19 pandemic. Each of us felt the impact of COVID-19 in many ways, as individuals and families, among friends and at work. This has been a time of hardship and struggle, of separation and isolation that has impacted our daily lives and our lives of faith. Through all that we have faced, we have found comfort in knowing our Lord Jesus has been near to us, especially when we encounter Him in the Holy Eucharist. Now the time has come for everyone to return joyfully to the celebration of the Eucharist with thanksgiving and renewed faith. As life returns to normalcy in many ways, I am restoring the obligation to attend Mass in person on Sundays and Holy Days, effective August the 15th. On that same day, Sunday, August the 15th, each bishop in Pennsylvania will restore the Sunday and Holy Day Mass obligation in his diocese. The dispensation from the obligation to attend Mass has been in place since March of 2020, when the developing pandemic required people to socially distance. Now, with the impact of the pandemic considerably reduced, it is fitting to restore the obligation and for everyone to return to the Eucharist and to Mass. As your bishop, I personally invite you to rediscover the Mass and to rediscover the precious gift of the Eucharist, especially if you have not come back to Mass in person since COVID hit, and especially if you have been away from Mass even for a long time before COVID. The Eucharist offers us our Lord's healing and peace, His mercy and reconciliation. Our time of separation from in-person worship showed us how precious the gift of the Eucharist truly is. While I am reinstating the obligation, as is always the case, does not apply to those who are seriously ill, who have a serious health risk, or to those who have serious anxiety about being part of a large group at this time. The obligation also does not apply to those who care for those who cannot attend Mass in person. If you are legitimately excused from Mass on Sunday and Holy Days, I encourage you to spend some time in prayer, read the Sacred Scriptures, and join in a live stream of the Mass. As your bishop, I welcome this moment that reinstates the obligation for all Catholics in the Diocese of Harrisburg on August the 15th. For all of us, it is a moment to thank God anew for the great gift of the Holy Mass and the real presence of Jesus in His holy body and blood, as well as for the joy of gathering together as a believing community of faith. May God continue to bless you and your families, and may Mary continue to intercede with her Son to keep us safe and renewed in our love for the Eucharist.
Franciscan Media and this local station present American Catholic Radio. Production of American Catholic Radio is made possible by listeners like you. And now, here's our host.
I'm Father Greg Friedman from the Franciscans. Welcome to American Catholic Radio, a weekly program designed to help you know your faith so you can grow in your faith. Each week, we try to inspire and inform, and our topics are usually pretty positive. But our mission also occasionally leads us to focus on problems that are facing our society and our church so that we can highlight solutions drawn from our faith. Today, we're tackling the problem of addiction, with a focus on two issues, pornography and alcoholism and drug addiction. Jesus' own words of compassion in the Beatitudes are meant for all of us, but they especially offer those suffering from some form of addiction to view themselves in a new way. To acknowledge one's powerlessness in the face of alcohol, for example, opens a person to God's mercy and to the help of others. Those affected by the behavior of the person with an addiction also need to hear Jesus' words in order to offer understanding and forgiveness. On today's Exploring Our Faith with John Feaster, we'll hear from Richard Thibodeau, Executive Director of the National Catholic Council on Alcoholism. He'll tell us more about his organization's work. Judy Zarek's guests on today's Living Faith invite people addicted to pornography and inappropriate sexual behavior to break free through a new vision of love and intimacy. Here's Judy to tell us more.
Consider this. According to research from the journal Sexual Addiction and Compulsivity, pornography revenue in the United States exceeds the combined revenues of all professional football, baseball, and basketball franchises. And the U.S. is the top producer in the world of both pornographic videos and internet pornography. To say the least, it's a problem. And Sam Meyer from Kansas City, Kansas, was not immune to its effects. Before he met his future wife, Beth, he was struggling.
Well, I had had many problems with pornography before Beth and I met, starting back in middle school. And those problems continued throughout junior high and high school. And then up into college, things started improving with my faith life. And Beth and I went to Rome for a semester and really started praying more and getting connected to the church. I assumed that those problems with pornography would just go away when we became married. Probably within 2 months of after getting married and coming home and getting the internet set up, it became a pretty big problem.
Sam's addiction to pornography wasn't just affecting his own life. It was having a major impact on his marriage.
It consumed him. I caught him several times late at night. I could tell by his body language. And he was, for the most part, open and wanted to share it with me. So again, I was very fortunate as a woman, if you can call it that. He wasn't trying to hide it from me.
Sam's issue with pornography was creeping into every aspect of his life.
During that time, especially when I became more involved with internet pornography, I not only withdrew from Beth, but also I just became very isolated and stopped spending time with my family and friends, and I was just filled with a lot of shame.
Beth and Sam decided to look for help, but friends and family weren't the answer. She and Sam looked for a counselor.
It really took a while to find the right people to help out. One of the counselors just said that most men she knows masturbate. It's not a problem, and best to just join in and look at pornography with me, and that would probably help our marriage. So obviously we never went back to that counselor.
They did finally find a counseling center for sexual addictions that helped them on the road to recovery. Amazingly, there are only about 3 Christian counseling centers in the entire country that specialize in sexual addictions.
I think it's just a very new field, and there's, up until some of the recent stories in the news with Tiger Woods receiving recovery, it's one of those fields that just isn't talked about a lot. There's so much shame that that clouds just the whole subject of pornography and sexual addiction and just sexual sin in general.
Sam and Beth credit their faith to helping them get through that dark time.
Our faith was a big part of never giving up. And I always continued going to priests for confession. And even though I was really ashamed and I would jump from one priest to another, I never gave up on the sacrament of confession. And I think God really answered those prayers.
Sam and Beth are now involved with the My House Initiative at the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas, a Freedom from Pornography initiative. Sam runs the My House office and is also a licensed counselor. He provides counseling in recovery groups for men. Beth coordinates the women's group for the My House office, as well as gives talks with Sam to parishes and different groups. Initially, however, Beth was not interested in staying involved with the process.
Whether I liked it or not, I had developed through my own experiences, going through a group and hearing the experiences of other women. It was very difficult to say no to helping, going from turning inside where it was, I didn't want any part of it, to helping others, which what Sam and I learned is a huge benefit for our own healing as well. So that was very much a blessing.
Sam realizes that most recovery happens because of the women in these men's lives.
80% of those men are making that call because of a strong wife or a girlfriend who's really advocating for change in the relationship. Most of these men don't call because it's a good idea. But a lot of these men, you know, when they're confronted by a strong, loving woman, it can really help change a relationship. So I think the best ability to encourage and empower the women is just such a gift.
In 2005, the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, created an awareness campaign about the effects of pornography and sexual addictions. There are six other dioceses that have implemented the My House program, and Sam and Beth's hope is that it continues to spread. For Living Faith, I'm Judy Zarek. To learn more about the My House initiative, go to loveisfaithful.com, or you can find a link at our website, franciscanradio.org.
You're listening to American Catholic Radio. It's time for Ask a Franciscan, the part of our program where we respond to your questions about Catholic faith and practice. With us today is Franciscan Father Dan Kroger, the Chief Executive Officer of Franciscan Media. And in that role, Father Dan directs all our media ministries, including this radio program. He was formerly a missionary and a university professor whose specialty is Christian ethics, how we apply the gospel to our everyday lives. So he's ready now to tackle your questions with producer Sharon Cross.
Well, hi, Father Dan. It's good to see you.
Hi, and good to see you too, Sharon. How's things?
Things are good. We have some questions for you today.
Oh, I never would have guessed.
Meredith wants information on the role of brothers in the church.
In my community, Franciscans, we have members who are fully members of our order who are not ordained and don't want to be ordained. And they have all kinds of skills. But we also have people with different talents, you know. I've known people who were in my community who are very good with all kinds of skills, electricity, plumbing, bricklaying, masonry, plastering. These are arts, you know, and skills that you have to develop. We've a locksmith. He's a licensed bonded locksmith, for example, in our community. We have people who are working as nurses in our community, and these are all full members of our community, and they're equal in every respect to any other member. The only distinction that comes is if the person happens to be ordained, that individual the church has trained and has authorized to preside at the Eucharist and so forth, the sacraments. Brothers do great work, and they're very important. It's just a way of recognizing the fact that the priesthood, if you will, being a presbyter, an elder in the community, is a role that is not something to which everyone is called, but many are called to service in the church. We see that. I mean, they're working as social workers, running soup kitchens, they're cooking, and you know, you name it. All of these are wonderful skills which can be a great service to the church. And so brothers do these things, and being vowed, poverty, chastity, and obedience, is a way in which communal life is strengthened for these people and the church.
Larry asks why bells are no longer rung during Mass at the Sanctus, the Holy, 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 or during the consecration.
Well, actually, the bells are rung in some places. They're optional. I think the basic idea of ringing the bells, that like we did when I was a little kid, that the Mass was in Latin, people might not know too much what's going on, and so you ring the bells to get their attention. So we are allowed, depending upon the customs of a given place, we can ring bells. And I don't think we do it any longer to get people's attention. We do it as a way of praising God. So I think the key thing is we do it with a sense of reverence and a sense of what is allowed by the liturgy. And we do it also recognizing that there are a variety of possibilities here that could be employed, and that's okay according to the church's liturgy.
Michael's question is, When did the rule change that required fasting from midnight before reception of the Eucharist?
Oh, wow, that goes way back, huh? These rules changed gradually under Pius XII and John the 23rd, and they reached their present state under Paul the 6th back in the early 1970s. So these are sort of, in a way, intended to make it possible for people with various age or physical needs to be able to receive the Eucharist. The idea of a Eucharistic fast, however, is still important, that we take seriously this reception of the Eucharist, and that we don't take it lightly, that we have a deep sense of the spiritual that's involved, of the sacrament itself. So Eucharistic fast, yes. Relaxed. Why is it relaxed? So that all can be able to more freely take part in the Eucharist and receive the sacrament of the Eucharist, despite even physical illnesses and what have you.
Father Dan, thank you for answering questions for us today.
Okay, well, thanks. I enjoyed doing it, and it's always a delight to study and to reflect on these things. So thank you.
Studies show that people who pray regularly and practice their faith are healthier and happier. I'm Bishop Ronald Gaynor. I want to invite you to experience a positive difference in your life by visiting your Catholic parish and encountering Jesus through the sacraments. Do it for your family, do it for yourself, and come home. Remember that God's mercy is and always will be there for you, no matter what your situation. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org to find a parish near you.
Everyone said it was okay.
I had a life.
They said it was a choice.
I was looking outside for answers.
I didn't want to mess it all up.
It wasn't the real me that went that day.
The life I had, it's gone.
Something inside dies after an abortion. If you're suffering because of an abortion, you may feel alone, but you're not. There are people who understand and can help. Call 888-456-HOPE. 888-456-HOPE. A message from Project Rachel.
You're listening to American Catholic Radio. The Catholic Church in the United States is making marriage a priority with a multi-year pastoral initiative to explore what sacramental married life means for the church and for society. We here at American Catholic Radio are doing our part with our weekly Marriage Moment featuring commentator Susan Hines Brigger. Susan has a BA in Communication Arts from the College of Mount St. Joseph in Cincinnati, Ohio. Susan's topic today is entitled Recalculating Route.
Thanks to Mark's new job, he now has two Susans in his life. The first one, of course, is yours truly. The second is the voice of his GPS. Now, I'd like to say that I'm flattered he picked that particular persona to guide him on his travels, but I suspect she was not chosen as an endearing reminder of his loving wife. Nonetheless, since she showed up, Susan number two certainly has reminded us about a thing or two about ourselves and life in general. First, let me just say that when it comes to personalities, Mark and I are day and night. He is a fly-by-the-seat-of-his-pants, impulsive kind of guy. I'm a by-the-rules-plan-it-out kind of girl. Okay, I'm suddenly realizing why Mark might have chosen Susan for his GPS. But it works. Over the years, Mark and I have learned when to exert our strengths and when to fall back and let the other lead. I'm not saying it's always easy, but it works. Sometimes Mark has to pull me out of my comfort zone and challenge me to throw caution to the wind and try taking a new route. Other times, it serves us best when I remind him that it would be wise to stay the agreed-upon course. And that's why we both appreciate the newest Susan in our lives. While she maps out what she thinks is always the best way to go, sometimes Mark and I decide that there is a better way to forge ahead. When we diverge from her predetermined course, she simply pauses and gently tells us that she's recalculating the route, Susan gives us a good reminder that while it's a good idea to have a long-term plan, sometimes it's okay to be flexible and stop and recalculate where you're going or how you're going to get there. And so we proceed in life, me, Mark, and Susan. After all, who knew she not only knew so much about directions, but about marriage as well.
To learn more about the U.S. Bishop's Initiative on Marriage, or to send us a question, visit our website, franciscanradio.org.
This is American Catholic Radio.
John Feaster's guest on Exploring Our Faith today is formerly executive director of the NCCA, Mr. Richard Thibodeau. He's a licensed professional social worker with 35 years of experience in the field, specializing in family wellness issues through his work with families, the courts, and in his writing. He joined the staff of the National Catholic Council on Alcoholism in 2005 as its executive director. Here with Exploring Our Faith is producer John Feaster.
So, Richard, thanks for being with us. What is the NCCA?
The NCCA was established back in 1949 by a Catholic priest, Father Ralph Faugh, who was the first one to recover from alcoholism through AA, and we are since then an organization of many lay people and clergy also, and our whole effort is trying to help the church in America here to bring all the resources of our faith to bear on the problem of addiction, and we do this by a number of ways, but mainly very simple spirituality help resources that we have.
When you say to try to connect between alcoholism and faith, what is that connection?
Well, I think the connection is really something very, very, very basic, that as anyone deals with an addiction or something in their life that is missing, is that missing part of one's life, that his spirituality, no matter what faith that he may belong to, has a deficiency. And in our Catholic faith, we believe in the Lord, and the Lord Jesus has extended to us the precious gift of our faith and our living in the church and everything.
Yeah.
And so people who have an addiction problem, sometimes, in fact, it is said, he says, you know, what is AA? Sometimes AA is where Catholics go in the basement of a Catholic or Protestant church to rediscover their faith.
Yeah, so let me talk about that for a second, that I know by now, I mean, we used to think of alcoholism or other addictions as moral faults. And these days, I think most people are aware that this is a disease, a physical illness. But like so many physical illnesses, it really interferes or can help feed our faith. Would you agree with that?
Yes, very much so.
What can we learn from alcoholism? What does it teach the whole church? Anything?
I think it teaches the whole church that we are all very, very human, and we all have limitations, and no one is perfect. And that's why I think in the Beatitudes and everything, our Lord said, you know, when I was in prison, you visited me. And so we have so many people, Catholics too, in our jails and prisons, who for whatever reason made some mistakes and ended up in prison many times because of an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, in our newest newsletter, we had a person in recovery that wrote a little story that said, if you're such a good Catholic, what are you doing in prison? And he answered that question by explaining just where he had come from and where he is going. And now he has a strong faith and is ending up helping many other people to recover from an addiction.
Yeah, and I would bet that there is a lot of Catholic alcoholics who are in prison. Would you say that's true?
Oh, yes, I think so. And of course, what the tragedy is we get letters from people and they say, this is my fourth time in prison.
Yes.
Because I continue to make those mistakes and don't get serious about getting into recovery.
And there's, you know, and there's a lot of people in the community whose lives have been damaged by someone else's alcoholism. So that's all part of this, isn't it? People who have had lethal car accidents, and they're just, they, you know, a lot of that happens, huh?
Oh, boy, yes. We do get, we have a little prayer booklet that that's called Prayers for Addicted Persons and Their Loved Ones. And we have sent thousands of these out to inmates in our jails and prisons. And we have volunteers that help us. And some, we get letters back from the inmates saying how precious that prayer booklet was. Like this one inmate said, that NCCA prayer book is really good. Yesterday morning, I went through and prayed it from page to page. I especially get good use of page 15, the one about forgiveness. You see, it was resentment that helped me get back into drinking.
Now, if I wanted to get that booklet, how would I get one?
Prayers for Addicted Persons and Their Loved Ones, both in English and Spanish. People can get that by emailing us at ncca@guesthouse.org. They can call us at 800-626-6910, extension 1200. And those can be sent to them free.
Richard, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
And thank you so much, and God bless for all that St. Francis and Franciscans do for our whole communities.
For Exploring Our Faith, I'm John Feaster.
Music for our program is composed and arranged by Bobby Fisher. I'm Franciscan Father Greg Friedman. Join me again next time for another edition of American Catholic Radio.
American Catholic Radio is produced by Franciscan Media, a ministry of the Franciscan Friars of Cincinnati, Ohio. Production is made possible by listeners like you.
American Catholic Radio is funded in part by Friar Works, Franciscan ministry and mission, serving the poor and changing lives. You can be a part of their mission. Visit Friar Works on the web at franciscan.org.
St. Anthony Messenger magazine has been enriching the lives of American Catholics around the country for over a century. Each monthly edition of St. Anthony Messenger contains inspirational and educational stories that help you learn more about your Roman Catholic faith. You'll also experience quality photography and engaging topics from one of the nation's most respected Catholic monthly publications. Subscription forms and online articles from St. Anthony Messenger are available at americancatholic.org/messenger.
You can donate to our mission or find American Catholic Radio archive programs and other resources at our website, franciscanmedia.org.
This program was brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Harrisburg and the Catholic Communication Campaign. Visit us on the web at hbgdiocese.org.